Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Pipe Dummies. It's episode 31. We're going to be doing some Ehrlich, Ehrlich Dark Strong Kentucky. We've spoke about this multiple times and figured it was time we finally lit it up on the show. So, and we're actually on time and functioning this, well, I believe we're functioning quite well so far, right, Ben?
Yep. So far, so good.
No audio issues and we're on time. And if you haven't seen, I know I put the picture up on there, but this stuff is nice cut flake. I think we're going to do a little bit different this time since we've got something not rubbed out. Ben has stuffed his straight into his pipe as a flake.
Yeah, I'm using my Dagner Meerschaum, Missouri Meerschaum cob pipe for this one. And I stuffed the flake in there. And I'll be honest, I have terrible luck doing it that way. So we're going to see what it's like. But this stuff smells awesome.
The tin jar note on this one is, I open this one just to smell it. I don't even light it sometimes just to get some smells off of it. And then since Ben's packing his is flake, I'm going to go ahead and rub mine out, giggity, into a ribbon and pack it that way. And we'll see how different they go.
It smells like raisin bread.
It does.
Oh, it's so awesome smelling. Yeah, I love it.
I was telling you, I think I've mentioned this one at least two or three times in other episodes.
Yeah.
It's a good one. Oh, you got the Zippo with the attachment today. You might be getting one of those. I got a couple Zippos I'd like to actually use.
Yeah, I don't know where my Zycar lighter is at. It's in a pipe bag, and my pipe bag is I have two pipe bags. I have a like a small skinny one that has a center pocket for tobacco, and you put pipes on either end. Those two pipes, and I have one for Virginia pipes that I carry around, and one for English pipe. But then I have another one that's larger. It holds like it's almost like a bag. It's probably about this big. This black leather. It holds about six pipes. And yeah, it's pretty nice. And that's where my lighter's at. And I have no idea where that's at. I thought it was with my other stuff, but it's not.
So the big black leather bag that holds six pipes is the one that goes missing on you.
Yeah, there's no pipes in it, but maybe there is.
You might be surprised. You like getting new pipes on Christmas.
Very true.
Well, I got my Zycar, so probably I was running out of fuel, so I already had a pipe earlier today. Ooh, nice.
Was that loud to you as well as to me?
Yes. I don't know what that was, but it was quite noisy.
Well, I live close to a military airfield, but that was a Coast Guard helicopter. I think it was the Lynx by the sound of it. We do have AH-64 Apache attack helicopters, but they're pretty distinctive when they fly over.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah. I have the dolphins fly over my house from the Coast Guard fairly often. So, you know those guys. That's a real deep rotor chop on them.
Yeah.
Ooh, that is a lot of smoke for a pipe.
Yeah. I like it.
I just about blocked out myself from the screen on that one. If I can get a good light going here. It's close.
Yeah, this takes me a little bit to get lit, too.
I notice when I pack a flake straight in the pipe, that it always takes me a little bit more than usual to get the light fully, because it's not packed quite tight, so tight. I haven't smoked this in a little while.
It's only the second time I've had this one.
I'm getting low. Small stack of flakes left in there.
Now, did you buy this one, or is this the Logan's, you know, pipe this Santa that he sent us?
More from the graciousness of Logan's heart, pipe Santa.
Yeah.
He loaded me up pretty good. I haven't had to buy too much. I bought the Sugays and some Drew Estates, but that's about it.
Yeah.
But he has so much pipe tobacco, he could probably never smoke through it already.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he dove in hard on the pipes.
A little tamp on mine.
It's got a, I say, thick profile.
Thick and what?
Creamy. Thick and creamy. I want to say meaty, but it's not meat flavor. It's right. Just got a lot to it. It's not real light or missing. You know, it fills up your mouth pretty strong. There we go. That should do it.
Mm. Yeah, this is a really hearty smoke for sure. Yeah, it's real dense. I mean, it's a heavy smoke, like you said, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can feel it. It leaves a long finish.
Trying to pick out the individual flavors, but it's so heavy, it's kind of hard, to be honest. I mean, it almost has that kind of like that charred meat kind of flavor to it, almost like a barbecue, but
the sweetness of a charred sauce and meat. Sweet notes off of it. Sweet than smoke.
Right, like hoisin sauce or something.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Because I get a little bit sometimes of like stone fruit, like dark fruit, which the hoisin sauce came from. I was thinking of like the plum sauce. Because it's almost a little plumminess about it, but it's a little sweet. But yeah, it tastes almost kind of like, you know, smoked meats or something with like a sweet fruit sauce on it, like a dark fruit, like hoisin or like a plum sauce, something like that. This is hard to actually describe actually.
Plum is what I kept picking up in the beginning. I hadn't said it yet because every time I get it, it was a sweet plummy note, but then it switched and was almost figgy, but then it was smoky, but it's so heavy that it was hard to really pick it out. But I was getting a sweet plum, but it hits and then it fades to be not so sweet real quick.
I'm going to Instagram our stuff for us.
Thought maybe you're already bored, already on your phone.
No, I was going to tweet out to the Dagners that we're actually using their pipe while we're doing that.
I'll have to get me a Dagner at some point. Talk about them enough. Some other flavors in here that I'm trying to pick out, but it's not easy. There's a lot to this smoke.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
As much as there is to it, it's not. It's heavy and full in body, but doesn't seem that heavy in strength yet.
No, it doesn't. It seems like medium body to me, but not really strong so much on nicotine as it is just like bold in flavor, like really bold.
Yeah, no, you can't miss what you're smoking this stuff. You won't forget it. It's not no put you in the ground, old Joe Krantz, though.
No. Never again. Never again.
Never going to forget that one. We'll have to try some of those ones that are even stronger sometime just to see if it was something about the old Joe Krantz or what.
Oh, well, yeah, there's... you know what? I can get us some super strong stuff. Some like, you know, the Triple X Black Rope stuff. That stuff is supposed to like make you go into a coma. It's so strong. So
it's like smoking a piece of rope covered in tar or something.
And it's, yeah. I mean, it comes actually in a twisted rope. It's crazy looking. I mean, and it's like pitch black. It's crazy.
I'll try it, but I'll make sure I get a good dinner before I touch that one.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, like, you know, the Seattle Pipe Club have their, you know, the plum pudding. But to be honest, that's what I'm getting out of this. Like, this is it. I'm putting is like the flavors I get out of this.
Yeah, I actually think this is a would almost be a better name for this tobacco because it's so, it's thick. It's almost got a pudding-like feel in your mouth, and then it tastes like plums and fruit.
Yeah.
Smoky, fruity goodness. This is where Logan can fill in the quiet time when we're trying to think.
It was actually looking up. It's Samuel Goweth, Black Double X Twist Rope. That's what it's called. Mm. And it will knock you on your ass.
It just sounds strong.
Yeah. It's because it is. It's actually kind of hard to find, so I'll have to keep a lookout.
And a match. Was it Mayan lagging up here? Or is it your end?
Yeah, you're lagging pretty bad. You pixelated on me, but you're back.
You know what's really sad is AT&T just gave some better. UVerse speeds out to me here. And said, I just noticed it today out of nowhere. And I know it hadn't been there long, so I checked it probably a month ago. And I was able to up it because 18 was the highest I could get.
I'm at 75.
Yeah, well, 18 was my limit with them. The other guys that can go faster can't reach my house yet because it's still too new, which is, I mean, one guy's over two houses down. I can see the pedestal. Like, just let me run a wire, and then you charge me for it. I mean, come on. But, so I upped it to one tier up, so I got 24, just to see if that was enough. And I think I can go up to 75, but it gets so expensive, I just don't want to do it. But we've been working along just fine on 18. I upped it to 24, and it seems slower. Now I got my phone on me, but even better, I did a speed test on my home router to see if that was in effect yet, like they said it was. And I was getting about 9 megabytes per second, which is not 24, because my minimum is supposed to be 18 up to 24. So I'm getting 9. that's not it. So I put my phone on LTE, and I was getting 58 and a half.
Wow.
I was like, I need them to be my home phone internet provider, not AT&T. That T-Mobile's fast down here.
Yeah, I got Verizon. Yeah, I have UVerse here, but of course I got wireless on all the TVs, so they all share, you know, the broadband, the
fiber. Right.
So I never get 75 or close to it, you know.
Yeah, I've got that too because I've got Apple TV, smart TV, I guess two smart TVs, an Apple TV, and then all the phones and laptops and the alarm system, all kinds of stuff runs off my wireless. And then right now I've got my wife inside and four guests. So I don't know how many of them might be using the internet, but if too many of them are, then that would explain my lagging tonight.
Especially somebody's watching Netflix.
Yeah, Connor's probably watching Paw Patrol or Bubble Guppies or something, more than likely.
You have that turned down to standard definition or low HD on that?
I doubt it.
I had, I had AT&T DSL back at home in Mississippi, and then I had cable internet. And I kept going over, I constantly kept going over my limits, right? Well, UVerse, there's no limit. If you have wireless UVerse, you have the TV UVerse and the internet UVerse, they take the cap off.
Mm.
And so I have unlimited, which is good. But I was like, what the hell? The one of the ladies I caught up on the cable company, they're like, oh, you know, you watch a lot of Netflix. I'm like, yeah, my son watches it constantly. She says, that's your problem. Like, really? She says, yeah. Go into settings. And you can change, you can knock it down because it's probably on Ultra HD, which is like, it's, I can't even remember what it was. It's like, I can't even remember. It was high as hell, but it's like, I think it was like 3 gig or something like that. But you go down to standard definition, it's like 700 megs. And then it's like 128 if you go down the or standard definition, 700 at like regular HD. And like 3 gigs for streaming for ultra definition. Mm. So I knocked that down and we never went over again. So Netflix is killing me. But the only thing you don't realize is like I was the primary account. So when I logged in, I would set it. But you have to go and log in under every profile that you have in Netflix and change it on every one. Because I changed it on mine. And I kept running up. I'm like, what the hell? That I realized I had to go log in as him because he's got a little kid's account.
Right.
Him, switch profile to him, and then turn it on him. I was like, shit. So, but it finally, that drastically cut down my data usage, you know. And the YouTube apps, if you have those, they run up a ton because you can't set that. So if everything's coming in, if you upload an HD, the video, and you're watching their video, it's in HD. It's coming at you full bore. So you can't tell it to notch it down or whatever.
I must have mine either set right or I don't watch as much as you because we watch our phones and the iPad and three different TVs because we don't have cable anymore. We have only streaming services. So we use it a lot and I've never gone over my limit. So
you probably got it lower. Right.
Could have.
Yeah, we had it set like that that they did an upgrade or something like that, and they bumped automatically your account up to the Ultra HD or whatever they call it. I can't remember what it's called. Now.
Getting a lot deeper, a lot smokier now.
Yeah.
That sweetness isn't hitting me nearly as strong as it was. It's kind of faded back.
Yeah, that... It's getting a little bit more bitter, almost kind of like a like espresso bitter, like an espresso bean kind of a bitterness to it.
Mine's slightly doing that. Not too bad. Bowl's pretty hot, though. I guess I'm smoking a little quick.
Yeah, mine is getting pretty – it's – wow. Yeah, I have to slow down too.
Yeah. Toasting it pretty good here.
The only real problem I have with flake is that when I pack the pipe, like the edge is around the rim, don't burn as quick as the center part does. So when I tamp, I have to kind of push that tobacco down to get it to
burn quickly. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was going to ask how your flake pack was going.
I mean, it's going great. I mean, it's going a lot better than normal. I mean, because when I do Ortic Golden Slice on any pipe, it never burns right. It just creates a giant plug in there every time. Hmm. But this one, I packed it the same way, and it's doing fine.
Trying to find that medium between keeping it lit perfectly and not getting this bowl too hot.
Yeah.
Kind of in between, either keep it good and lit, I get bowl hot, or have to light it again.
Now, I said this is the second time I smoked this. The first time I smoked this was in this Suge right there. And it has a small chamber in it. And let me tell you, this tobacco did not taste that good at that.
Oh, yeah.
It was really bitter, real strong and bitter. This one has a bigger bowl. It's taller, but it's also bigger, and it's smoking a lot better in this. Because I thought this might smoke better in a big, wide bowl. So far, it's doing that. It's smoking much better in a bigger bowl.
Yeah, I haven't tried this. I don't have any small bowls. My smallest bowl is my Suge, the Drew Estate one, but that's my aromatic pipe on that one. So I haven't smoked anything else in it. Hoping to come back from Vegas next week with a pipe or two extra than I got now. Round out the collection a little.
Are you there all 4 days?
Yeah, I fly in on. So I'm gonna get there early Sunday morning. I think it's like 7-something Sunday morning.
Good God, man.
Yeah, because we're leaving Austin at 6. I think 6:15, and then you lose the 2 hours going back, so the flight ends up taking like 45 minutes clockwise. So, and then I leave late Thursday, so I'll be back. See, it works horrible the other way because I don't get back to Austin until 1:30 in the morning.
Oh, my God. That's terrible. I get back like Thursday at 7:30.
2 hours, you know, plus the time of the flight. You put it all together, it just takes a long time to get back.
Yeah.
I'll be tired, I'm sure.
This is definitely one you got to kind of battle with. I mean, I'm still trying to keep this lit. My bowl is hot as hell.
Yeah, mine's warm, but doing pretty good. And the smoke out of this thing is something else for a pipe tobacco.
Yeah. Which, if you know, I say this in my cigar reviews. On cigars, I love a ton of smoke in my cigars. A ton of smoke.
Oh, yeah.
So, in pipes, it's kind of the same way. I mean, really think about it, I kind of don't care one way or the other with pipes, but I guess I kind of do like a lot of smoke. I don't know.
There's something a little smoke that just makes it a little funner to smoke. Also lets me know it's lit and burning well.
Yeah, it's kind of hard because I got the fan above me on high, so as soon as I blow it out, it's gone. So.
Yeah, plus if you got enough smoke, you're sitting to yourself bored smoking, you can make the smoke green, play around, but
I never have ever been able to make a smoke ring.
Really? I've gotten pretty good at just sitting here doing it randomly when I'm reviewing or watching a movie out here. But you can't really do it with pipe tobacco too much. It's just normally not near enough smoke to do it.
Yeah.
And then if you can get enough smoke, you've had to puff the thing up so hot that it's going to burn your bowl and start to gurgle on you. So you kind of just got to deal with what you can get.
Right.
But I have to smoke this one pretty quick just to keep it lit. But also, it's right off the too hot, too, also. So it's a fine line between too hot and staying lit.
Yeah, mine is too. Like, you know, the test is to put it to your cheek. I can't even do it.
Yeah. Yeah, see, mine's not that hot.
No, yours is perfect. Well, of course, this is a Cobb, so.
But I'm keeping a pretty steady pace on this to keep it burning and smoking that good and still not be that hot. So I guess it's just a faster smoking tobacco.
And the flavors kind of remain the same.
Mine's almost turning a little more Worcestershire sauce style.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's got that meaty, heavy, thick flavor, but there's almost that, you know, that sweetness you can get out of that sauce. It's really good. I don't have a problem with this at all.
Yeah, you know what kind of reminds me of a lot now? Like Smith & Walensky's, is that steakhouse? I believe it's in Chicago or New York. I can't remember which one it is. I think it's in New York. Maybe. I don't know. But they make a steak sauce. And basically what it is, it's like A1, but without the tang, and it's sweeter. That's kind of what this tastes like. The Worcestershire sauce kind of made me think of that. It's called Smith & Walensky's. It's really good. It's a traditional English-style, like a beef sauce.
Right.
And it is good. It's super good. It's a lot sweeter and way less tangy than A1. But it's the same type, like it's molasses and raisin based and all that, just like A1 is. But
yeah, all of a sudden that's exactly what I was getting out of this. The whole thing has stayed real thick and meaty in the profile, but it's gone from being fairly sweet to a little more just meat and smoke flavor.
Yeah. No Zika from you.
Yeah, the joys of being outside in South Texas in the summer.
God, man.
We actually don't have any mosquitoes. You've been getting them, and there's none down here. But it doesn't help that we really hadn't had it rain for a little bit today. But other than that, I hadn't had rain in 6 weeks. It's been
we haven't either. It got a little bit, like we get like spurts of rain like for like 10-15 minutes and then it's gone. That's about it. And it's probably happened 3 times this week, and that's all we've had in 6 weeks.
Now you're beating me because we haven't had anything in, I think might be more than 6 weeks now, but it rained today for, let's see, it rained in my office for maybe 10 minutes. Pretty heavy. But here at my house I think I got, I didn't even check the gauge. It was almost nothing here. Like the concrete under the car on my slope driveway was still dry because it wasn't even enough to run.
Wow.
But that's all we've gotten, and starting to push 2 months now. Yeah, our reservoir levels are down like under 50% now, so we're going to be back in drought status for too long.
Well, we're kind of at that point here. Like, you know, about 2 months ago, we had flooding in Houston. Now they're saying conserve your water. Don't water your lawn so much right now. It's like,
yep.
Good God.
That's how we do it in Texas. You're either underwater or you can't find any. Of course, that one that hit today comes in with a nice bit of rain. It came offshore. That's the only reason we tend to get showers now is they come in off the ocean, the Gulf, and they blow up in here and drop some water. But it came over Oso Bay, which is just down like 2 minutes from me, and a big water spell. Threw out tornado warnings and everything, but they're not going to make it past the water around here.
Yeah, they're so fun.
But I missed it. I'd rather have seen it.
The last one I saw was actually the biggest one I've ever seen. And it was actually when I was working at a naval shipyard my company used to own. And it's on a river. And we have the West Bank and East Bank. And the East Bank was had like their Marine Expeditionary Ship called LHDs. And what, based on what they are, they look like little mini aircraft carriers. And the back of them opens up, the entire back of them. I don't know if you've ever seen those big giant hovercraft that they use to land on beaches and stuff.
Yeah.
But they come out of they call it LCAC, if I remember right. They come out of the back of those ships. Basically, all they are, they're basically Marine troop transports. They carry Harriers and Sea Stallions, AH-1 Super Cobras and Cobras, stuff like that. Anyway, we had two of them parked docked on the side of the East Bank, and we had a bad thunder. This time of the year in the Mississippi Gulf Coast, we have these massive, powerful, strong thunderstorms come off the Gulf and come up on land, and they are like little bitty mini hurricanes, and they're terrible, right? One was coming in, and a waterspout came right up the river, and I was watching it, and it went right on to one of those LHDs, and when it crossed LHD, it went on the land, it just disappeared. But it was crazy watching that big sucker go right through the middle of one of those LHD ships. It was really cool.
Yeah, they're neat to watch. They don't tend to, at least around here, cause any damage. They're just neat to look at. They throw some grass around, some sand. If they get up close to shore, then that's it.
Yeah, they don't let, because they're just, it's just a water funnel. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. But, yeah, they're pretty awesome.
Yeah. We need to make some, I know it's not a technical difficulty, but we need to make some technical difficulty logos for ourselves on here when you have to go away. We get interrupted by the family.
Yeah, I had my dog. Everybody just saw her walking back and forth. She doesn't like the heat very much. So she was at the door panting, like wanting to get in. So I sent my wife a message, hey, can you let her inside? And as soon as she came to the door, right before she got there, my dog ran off. And I tried to tell her to come on, come inside. And she, I don't know where she went.
Yeah, she gets a lot of air time, too, if you're walking back and forth in the background there. There she is.
Yeah. Now she's here. Yeah, she does not like the heat.
I don't blame her. Got a lot of fur. I don't even got that fur, and I don't like this heat. Walk in and out of the store, and you got that nice sweat going.
I know. Oh, well, she missed her chance.
Staying nice and in a nice range. It feels hot, but it's not that hot. Smoking down pretty quick, too. I'm already over halfway through this bowl. And it's a pretty big bowl.
Yeah, mine's dude, it's almost like it's not even moving. I mean,
really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can get mine up here, but with some light there. No, there's not enough light. It's pretty, it's sitting down about here already.
Mine is right there.
Hey. Must be that packing it as a flake.
Yeah.
Which doesn't appear to affect the flavor at all, because we're both getting a very similar profile. Mm. I think it slows down the burn.
Yeah, and usually, like talking to some of the older guys, the older pipe smokers, like capstan is one that's really popular. So, and it comes in ready rubbed, or it comes in the ribbon, and also comes in a flake. And everybody swears the flake tastes so much better. So, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of why I didn't want to rub this out. You know, I did rub it out last time. That's when I got real bitter. But I think it's because the bowl was so small. It's real, you know, it's kind of tall, but it's real narrow. But I don't know. It's definitely burning real slow.
Is that something to make sure to keep in mind? It doesn't appear to do so well in such a small bowl.
Yeah, it doesn't. No.
I think we need a little bit bigger bowl just for the way that it gets fairly warm. You got to smoke it pretty quick. I think that small bowl, which probably makes sense why it got bitter on you, to keep it going, you had to get it so hot that it just turned really bitter on
you. Yeah.
Getting kind of grainy, almost cereal-like on me.
I'm not getting that yet.
Yeah, it got lighter. It's still a heavy smoke, but it got lighter, more of a grain, cereal, almost a nut-type profile to it now. Yeah. That's definitely what I'm getting down here about halfway through it.
This is definitely would be a winter smoke for me. I mean, it's so thick and heavy. It reminds me of the fall. I mean, I don't know. Kind of just reminds me of, like, you know, bonfires or, you know, campfires or whatever. I mean, but it's still really tasty. But
yeah, just like thicker beers are usually winter beers and thicker foods and thicker clothes. It kind of goes right along with that whole winter feel.
Yeah.
With the plum pudding profile you get in the beginning there.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, it's tasty, but I mean, it's warm here. It's pretty hot. I mean, the humidity is not bad. It's like 50-60% or something right now. So it's not really too bad out here right now. But still, this feels a little bit too heavy to be smoking this right now, out here in the heat.
Yeah, we're hitting up in the 94-95% humidities for the end of this week here, and it's going to be pretty ugly. Low 90s and almost 100% humidity is
horrible. Let me check to see what ours is going to be. I don't know if I can see what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, you usually get a little higher temperatures over there than we get.
This sab didn't tell me. I'm still trying to find a really good Houston weather app. Like, we have one for our local TV station, WLOX, in Biloxi. And their weather app is really good. I really like it. But no, it's not that they developed. It's created by WSI, which is that's a good way to explain it. Like, they sell like a generic frame structure of the weather app, and you can, you know, add it what you want onto it. But nobody in Houston actually uses that. Which, it's terrible. But humidity is 70% right now.
Not horrible, but not comfortable.
Nope. It's better than 100 or 90.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Yeah, like tomorrow it was going to be 96 degrees, the high. Thursday, 97. Shoot me in the face.
What really matters is what it's going to be. Well, no, it doesn't. Two Tuesdays from now. Because next Tuesday's IPCPR, we will not be here. Just a reminder.
Right. No show next Tuesday.
No Pipe Dummy show, but we'll be doing 4 days worth of shows, each of us on our own other times.
Yeah, yeah. Usually we upload almost 100 videos to Stoker Review about the cigar, so we'll be working.
I lost track of how many we did last year. But it's a lot.
It's not showing me the humidity for the next few days either.
Mine's staying on the lighter side. I mean, it's not real light, but it's not that real deep, plum, thick, saucy flavor. It's more grainy now.
Yeah, we actually didn't even talk about what's in this tobacco. It's a Virginia Burley blend, and it has Kentucky of Virginia. And Tobacco Review says Virginia's with dark fired Kentucky tobacco. Obviously, tobacco selection blending fine black Cavendish with irresistible qualities of Kentucky Burley gives this flake a look, taste, and feel uniquely its own. Tobacco cut, flake slice cut tobacco, not aromatic, medium to full in strength. I mean, I'd say medium body, but not, I don't know if about full. It says there's a licorice flavoring on this. I don't taste that. Do you taste licorice?
No, I can almost see how you get it, but I sure don't taste it.
I'm glad I don't, because I freaking hate licorice.
You don't like absinthe either, huh?
You know, I can deal with it. Like when we went to Germany for Intertobac last year for Drew Estate and Royal Agio, the makers of Balmoral cigars. The first night we were in Germany, we went to an absinthe bar, and we tried probably 6 different ones. And actually, my favorite one was made by Marilyn Manson called Mansith. And it was really good, really good. But we tried some from France, some from Germany. And, yeah, I could drink it because I appreciate it, what it is. But not a whole lot of it.
Yeah, I can't do a whole lot of it anyway. Especially about $55 a bottle, it's not something I buy a whole lot.
No, and it's
not an anytime drink either. You don't just go in there and
no.
If you make it right, you don't go in there, you know, put your sugar cube and drip your absinthe over it and make yourself a nice absinthe.
You drip the water. You pour the absinthe over this. For those that don't know, for an absinthe, it comes in like a tall, slender glass, and you put this special slotted spoon over the top of it, and you put a sugar cube on it, and you pour the absinthe in the glass over the top of the sugar cube. And there's a high alcohol content of absinthe, so when you get done with that, you actually light the sugar cube on fire, and it will burn for a little bit. You let it burn just for until you see it kind of start to melt a little, and then you blow it out, and then you drip the water over to slowly put it in there. And, or you could just drop it in and stir it and then pour the water in there, which we did both. We actually dropped it in there, stirred it, and then put a little bit of the water in there slowly while we stirred it. But don't make the mistake that one of our guys almost did and take the sugar cube while it's on fire.
No.
And drop it in there. We almost had an international incident happen, but luckily, I can't remember who it was, thought enough to like blow it out right as they were doing it, as it started to fall. But was, it's tasty, you know. But there's a couple of bars in New Orleans that they kind of specialized in. And one of them, and I can't remember the name right off the top of my head, but it's a bar that's been there for like 200 years. They have one of the original absinthe, it's a big fountain. It's a big water fountain. Mm-hmm. And it has spouts on the end of it. And it's made out of copper from like the 1800s, mid-1800s, something like that. It's really freaking old. And they kept it there even when absinthe was banned this whole time in the United States. It's been there the whole time. So whenever it, you know, became legal again, you know, they filled it right back up and kept going like they used to back in the day. And it's really cool to see it done the old school way, you know, but it does take forever to do it that way. But it's well worth it. It's because it's quite a show.
Yeah, that's a fancier one than I've probably ever seen. Because I know some places you can get basically one of the, you know, pedestal with little spouts. You put your drink in and you just let it drip in there before you give it to you. But nothing that fancy. That sounds pretty nice.
That's New Orleans.
Yeah. New Orleans is also hot and humid. Put us to shame. I quit complaining when I go to New Orleans.
I'm used to it. That's why I said I'm sitting
out here. That was ridiculous.
Humidity, it feels comfortable.
I don't like this humidity. So when I was in New Orleans, I just said, oh, okay, Corpus isn't so bad. Still don't like it, but compared to New Orleans, jeez.
Oh, I never grew to like it. But when you spent like 40-something years in it, you know, you just learn how to deal with it, you know.
What? I still can't learn to deal with it. As long as I've been in it, I don't care for it.
I would rather not, trust me. I would rather live in a mountainy area with low humidity and crisp, cool air. We are relighting the shit out of this.
I am now. Now that I'm getting to the bottom here, it seems like it's packed tighter and just needing to be relit. It's not affecting the flavoring for me, but it definitely needs to be relit. So I might have to do it again, probably. No, it's not lit. I'm good. Also, the side effect of doing the show and trying to talk is you neglect your pipe and you got to come back and relight it.
Yeah, but I mean, most tobaccos can withstand it. This one, you got to kind of baby it, at least so far for me.
No, I got to watch mine. If I go too long without getting a good pull on it, it just starts to go out real quick.
Yeah. It's still tasty. I mean, it's not really changed much, though.
Starting to get hot, but still not bad. I feel like we're not near as talkative this episode.
Because we got to work with this pipe tobacco. We're relighting and trying to puff on it to keep it lit the whole time.
That's true. Can't really take it out of your mouth very long. Don't soundbite that one.
I mean, this is a really popular blend. A lot of the YouTubers, pipe reviewers that I watch, I mean, I haven't heard much negative at all on this blend at all. But it's
It's got a 3.3 out of 4 stars over on tobacco reviews. So,
yeah. The one thing that I did see a lot of was this is very, 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 very similar to Peter Heinrich's Dark Strong Flake, which you can actually get that in a big 8-ounce tin. I don't know how because I have a smoked dark strong flake. I don't know how close it is, but from what I understand, it's pretty damn close.
Yeah, I do see a lot of people comparing it to that. Oh, it said it's not as complex. I see. Because this one's, I mean, it's a pretty complex. There's so many flavors hitting you. It takes a while to pick a nice medium of what you're getting out of it.
Yeah. It's almost getting more molasses-like for me, flavor-wise, now.
I'm still getting grain. It's a little heavier grain, a little more bite to it. But mine's still grainy. It's getting a little drier profile to it, not nearly as.
Yeah, I got some water here that I've been trying to drink on. I kind of need it now. But yeah, I get more of a molasses flavor right now.
Yeah, we're definitely different here because I'm not getting any molasses out of this.
See, I'm not getting that grainy quality you were talking about.
It's an odd transition in our smokes then. That we can get the same and then completely different with two different packs.
Yeah, but the thing is, I have a theory on that. Since, you know, mine, it's in flakes. Yours is rubbed out, so you probably got more even distribution in your bowl between the Virginia and the dark Kentucky, where mine is straight flake. So I'll probably see if I have a good flake left. But as you can see, like, we can see the lighter Virginia and then the dark Kentucky. So I'm probably, you know, I don't know. I might have hit a pocket of the dark Kentucky right now. Whereas yours is pretty evenly split because you rubbed it out and packed your pipe.
There we go. Good side profile of it. Yeah, because that Virginia is a lot thinner run down the middle there.
Right, exactly. And it's kind of close to one end. So if I would have packed that, folded it, and packed it in the pipe, I would probably get more grainy, that grain quality, that breadiness that you're getting on the bottom of the bowl, you know, or at the top if I would have packed the other way.
As I get to the bottom of this, I'm starting to get some honey. It's not a molasses. It's a real light honey note to that grain.
Virginia. That's what I get out of Golden Sliced. Hay and honey.
Yeah, this is grain and honey for me right now. Definitely a lot lighter. Not as heavy. Still a medium, but not a heavy medium. A much drier, lighter medium. No,
it's right down the middle of the road. I mean, that's why I can say this is more for me of a fall smoke than anything. But it's doable in the summer because it's not full-bodied. You know, they say it's supposed to be medium to full, but I don't think it comes close to full.
No, I don't get the full out of it either. But, and also, as I was discussing earlier, I got some family and friends over, and here we're about 9:05, so I know it takes us a little while to wrap up our final thoughts. I think we start heading that direction here. I know I'm about done, and if yours is going as slow as it was, you got another hour left on your smoke.
Yeah, definitely. I'm halfway at the bowl now. That's where I'm at. So go ahead, you give your final thoughts first.
I'm sitting way down, you know, getting in the bottom. I know my flames are way down here, so I'm just about done with this one. This, let's see if I think scoring rise. Yeah, this isn't a good summer smoke, and it's almost always summer here. It's a good cool weather, I'd say, you know, later in the day smoke. Although I could probably still smoke it pretty early because it isn't that strong. So it's not a five. That's a, I always got to think about what that score rating is.
I can never worry.
Yeah, I'm going to have to just pull it up because I know what five is. I know what two is. And three and four are kind of get thrown around on me. Because this is, there we go. Yeah, that's what I thought. Didn't want to say it if I was right, but I'd put a, it's better than only when it's on sale. It's maybe like a 3.5 for me. Not quite four, but I'd keep some in rotation, but I wouldn't need to keep very much.
Yeah.
As much as I do like it.
Yeah, it's the same for me because it's not one that I can smoke all year round. It's because of where we live at in, you know, hot as hell Texas. But I just thought I used to say that. But it's very flavorful. I enjoy it. But it's not something I would grab all the time, you know? Like, right. I'd rather smoke a lot of my English blends before I would smoke this. But it is something that I would grab every now and then for sure, you know?
And this is more of a sit back and do nothing else smoke for me, not a while you're doing something else smoke. It's too complex, a little too heavy.
Yeah.
You got to sit back and enjoy this one. Especially if you got to pay this much attention to the smoke. If you tried to do anything else with it, you'd end up just holding a flame to it the whole time you tried to smoke it.
Yeah, kind of what I don't do much of it now, especially now that I moved. I don't even know where I would go. But, you know, I'm a big hunter. And I would think this would be like an awesome pipe tobacco to smoke like after you get back from a hunt or something, sitting around the campfire with the guys or something like that, you know, sitting on the porch in a rocking chair.
That'd be a good time for it. Maybe not in the blind or anything, but afterwards.
No, not unless not. Maybe if you're duck hunting, you can pull that off, but not definitely not deer hunting or anything else.
Well, I know some deer hunters that don't do it for the deer. They do it for the, you know, weekend in the deer blind with some beer and some tobacco. So they'd probably be fine with it.
Yeah, probably so.
But if you want to, if you actually want to shoot something, I probably wouldn't.
No. No, but it's tasty. It's something I would like to keep around. You know, a 10 or two, maybe. I would like to age one of these to see what it's like in about 10 years, 5, 10 years. I might do that.
I would think this would age pretty well.
I would think so. I would think it would age phenomenally. I would love to see how this would be in about 5 or 10 years. But, yeah, it's something that I'll keep around, but it's something I probably wouldn't grab a whole lot. It's just real smoky. Got that charred meat flavor, the plumminess, molasses. I mean, it's good. It's really good. Oh, yeah.
No argument on that.
Yeah. I do think it would be better rubbed out than smoked at a flake. You know? I don't know. I'm going to try it again in this pipe rubbed out and see what it's like. But I think I would prefer it rubbed out than in a flake. So I would probably give it a 3 out of 3.5 as well.
And if you want to smoke it a little faster, because I'm cleaning my bowl out now because it smoked all the way to the bottom.
Wow. It's already
completely empty. It burned pretty well. I mean, I've had some burn a little, you know, less than spectacular on that, leave a lot of extra tobacco. But that one smoked down gray to the bottom. So I'll give it some credit there. On top of the credit that it's actually really good tobacco.
Yeah, I do like it.
This is one that I'm pretty sure I'm going to run out of.
Yeah.
I've got some that I yet have small amounts of, but I already know that I'm going to have it for a while because I don't know when I'll come pick it up again. But I've picked this one up a few times already, and I'm sure I'll be back.
Yeah. Yeah, same here. I think it's a good one. I'll revisit it, you know, but like I said, there's several other things I would prefer that's more my style that I'd rather smoke. But other than that, it's a quality tobacco, and I do like it. It's good.
All right, well, we'll go with that, and we'll let Ben get in out of the humidity and heat and mosquitoes before he gets Zika and can't go to Vegas next weekend.
Yeah, for real.
Get blacklisted. And I always think we said next weekend or next week, next Tuesday, we'll all be in Vegas, so no shows. More than likely, we'll pick up the Tuesday after that, you know, unless something happens that gets us busy after the show, which you never know. So end of next week, actually probably beginning of next week, maybe we'll pick our next one and we'll get it posted up for you and let you know what's coming. Until then, we'll see y'all on and off through Vegas next week.
Oh,
catch y'all later.
We will be doing another Dunhill month, and we'll be doing more giveaways too. So look for that coming up probably in October, around October sometime. So keep an eye out.
We'll be doing another point. We might have some more stuff from the show at IPCPR that we come back with. We may end up with some samples and some stuff to smoke with some giveaways too. So
yes,
definitely be looking at the shows coming up after IPCPR. They should be a lot different.
Definitely.
All right, Ben. Catch you later.
See y'all later.